Tom Abraham Show. It is a Tony Mac Tuesday today, not a Top 10 Tuesday. It was Tony Mac Tuesday. I will be taking over for Tom. Last guest of the day here. In case you guys didn't hear, there was some big news released on Sunday morning. Alabama squeezed into the playoff. They will be the 4 seed taking on the Clemson Tigers. And here to help me break that down is Clint Lamb of Saturday Down South. Clint, welcome in, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I share the enjoyment and the excitement of Alabama fans and Georgia fans and Clemson fans because I'm an Oklahoma fan and we're in the playoffs. So I'm pretty excited. Number one, as a guy that writes for Alabama, obviously you got to be a fan. How excited? You got to put that bias to the side when you're trying to report on something. I get it. But when that news broke, I mean, did you just give a little fist bump?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, not just because Alabama was able to make it in. I think the committee made the right choice. And I understand that it might have been, a little bit of a debate between some people. But I think when you look at what the committee was trying to do, which was get the best 4 teams in, I think they were able to achieve that. And certainly being able to cover the team, a team that makes it into the playoffs is certainly enjoyable. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I think it was important on the committee's part to tell us exactly what they were looking for. If you're looking for the 4 best teams in the country, then Ohio State winning a Big Ten championship, it's not just the Big Ten championship, just having that trophy and that title that should have got you in. It's how you looked winning that championship. And in my opinion, you while winning your conference, you didn't look like a top 4 team in the country, and you didn't look like it because you just happened to be playing a team that was worse than you. So if we're taking the 4 best teams in the country, it has to include Alabama.
I completely agree. And I just think the committee went with a safer option for them, too. I do think that Alabama is a better team than Ohio State, but I think there were a lot of things that ended up playing into their decision, including the fact that you look at what, you know, they kind of went out on a limb last year for Ohio State, and the one thing Ohio State couldn't do to make them look bad was get blown out, and that's exactly what they did. And so, you know, there were some people that pointed to the fact that they let in a non-conference winner last season, and that actually kind of backfired on them. But I think the committee was more so looking at it in the sense of it's the same team. We put our faith in Ohio State, and they made us look bad. And with Alabama, what you know you're not going to get is them. They're not going to get beat by, you know, 15 or 31 points to anybody. So I think that they ended up going with a safer option. Like I said, I do think they're a much better team.
Yeah, and you make a good point there about the comparison between Ohio State this year and last year. It's not that the committee was embarrassed by a one-loss non-conference champion last year. It was that they were embarrassed by Ohio State themselves, and that was the team in argument this year. And I think the fact that they kept Ohio State out and ultimately keeping the Big Ten out of the playoff this year was a statement, and a lot of people have made the same claim. Is it's a great statement to say that, look, we didn't have an agenda. We're not in this for the ratings. Sure, Alabama and everybody are going to give you ratings, and you want to see if there's going to be SEC teams getting the championship, but the automatic ratings, you're taking a chance on that. Some people might get played out and be like, I don't want to see two SEC teams at the championship. I'm out. You're taking a chance with that. Whereas if you put a Big Ten team in, they get such a heavy ratings draw, especially Ohio State. They're a ratings dream. So that they were, in my opinion, they were making a statement. We are here for the 4 best teams. You know, we don't have an agenda.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, you look at what Alabama's been able to do under Nick Saban. They've never been beat by more than 14 points. And you look at just recently, whether it be Ohio State getting blown out by 31 by Iowa, whether it be, you know, last season versus Clemson 31-0, or the year before that when Alabama played Michigan State and blew them out 38-0. It's just, recently the Big Ten has kind of put a bad product on the field when it comes to those really crucial games. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. There's no doubt about it that all 4 teams that made the playoff have a chance to win it. So I'm definitely excited to see how it shakes out.
Absolutely. Clint Lamb with a Saturday Down South. Now, the past few years, the first year we had Alabama, Ohio State, round one, and then you also had Florida State, Oregon. On paper, those were pretty good matchups. And then year two, there was a glaring matchup there, Alabama, Michigan State, in my opinion at least. You watched it for intrigue, and maybe Michigan State could keep it close, but you expected a blowout. Not necessarily a great matchup on paper. Last year, good matchups, with Clemson, Ohio State, you didn't expect Ohio State to get blown out, but they did. But on the other side, Alabama, Washington, again, you watched early at least for intrigue to see if they could keep it close, and they couldn't, and it didn't look like a good matchup on paper. This year, easily the best two matchups you could ask for. You got the 1 and the 4, the Clemson-Alabama 3, two instant classics the last time they played, and then Oklahoma and Georgia going to the Rose Bowl screams instant classic. So I think the committee nailed it. I mean, these matchups on paper are both amazing.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I'm really excited to see Georgia play Oklahoma.
Me too.
You're talking about the best player on the field and Baker Mayfield having to go against an SEC defense who is one of the top defenses in the country. That should be really intriguing. You look at the other side of the football. Fromm hasn't exactly been asked to do a ton. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I know Oklahoma kind of struggles as far as their pass defense goes. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they attack that Oklahoma defense. But there's certainly a lot to love about that matchup. And then you flip over to the Clemson and Alabama matchup. You're talking about just a team that last year Clemson's a lot better than they were in the secondary, or at least against the pass. And they're the number one team in the country in sacks. I think they have like 44 on the season. So Alabama's offensive line has struggled a little bit recently. So that's something that they're definitely going to need to focus on with this upcoming matchup.
Absolutely. Now let's get into that Clemson-Alabama 3. I understand the last two times they both met in the championship game. This one will be playing to get into the championship game. But the last two times Alabama's played them, one with Jalen Hurts and one without, they've had Deshaun Watson looming on the other side. Now, this Kelly Bryant guy is not Deshaun Watson. So tell me exactly what Alabama is to expect out of this guy, Kelly Bryant.
Well, you know, he's not exactly a Deshaun Watson, but as you can see from the success that Watson had as a rookie in the NFL, not too many people are. That doesn't mean that Kelly Bryant's not an excellent quarterback, because he is. And he's certainly not the kind of guy that Alabama's going to underestimate. He's got great size, 6'4", 220 pounds. He has already actually, despite playing two less games, has exceeded Watson's rushing totals and rushing touchdowns from last year.
Wow.
And then, of course, he's also surprisingly been a more accurate passer. Now, granted, there's some things that play into that. The types of plays that that Clemson calls this year compared to last year kind of set that up for him to – his completion percentage to be a little bit higher than maybe his talent would – indicate, but he still is a very accurate passer. And the fact that Clemson's only loss this season has come without him being 100% healthy should tell you everything you need to know. He is a pivotal part of that football team. But, of course, he's not going to be the only guy they rely on. They got a three-headed trio at running back who are all exceptional players and who can all be effective versus Alabama's style of defense. So it should be interesting to see how it plays out. But I will say, I think neither quarterback is going to be able to find too much success through the air. It's going to be which team can establish the most consistent run game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the last year after the championship game beforehand, both games started out slow in the first half, low scoring anyway in the first half, and they blew up in the second half each year. But this year, you kind of get a different feel. Last year, it was if Clemson's going to win, they got to do this. Deshaun Watson has to do this. It was all on their offense. This year, it kind of feels flipped around. It's like if Alabama wants to beat Clemson, all the question marks are on their offense now, because, number one, Clemson's defense is that good this year. And number two, fans have a sour taste in their mouth because the last time they saw Alabama play was in the Iron Bowl, and they were a little stagnant on offense. They went away from the run game and relied on Jalen Hurts to have to do everything, whether it be on his legs or with his arm. So my question to you is, what does Alabama have to do against this daunting defense on the other side?
Well, first of all, they really need to be able to try to establish a run game. That's not going to be easy to do. I want to say Clemson is number just outside the top 10 as far as their run defense. But in order to put Jalen in the best position to succeed, they have to be able to establish a run game. Last year, of course, with Bo Scarborough, they were able to do that early on, but then once, of course, he went down with that leg injury, there just wasn't as much room. And, of course, that put a lot more pressure on Hurts. And granted, he did score a 30-yard touchdown with a couple of minutes left to put Alabama up, but just through the air, he just didn't find much success. And that's something that they're really going to try to limit what they ask him to do through the air. But they don't want to become too one-dimensional because, of course, that that can be an issue as well. I don't really know exactly, you know, with Bo Scarborough seems to be picking up steam as the season progresses. Guys like Josh Jacobs have really been coming on. And then, of course, players like Damien Harris seem to be kind of fading back a little bit compared to their hot start. So I'll be interested to see how the distribution of carries works out. But both of these teams have an excellent stable of running backs, and I definitely expect both to utilize those in order to have consistent offensive success.
Absolutely. And in the Iron Bowl a couple weeks ago, the question was, why did you stop running the ball? And now I believe what you're getting at now is the question for Alabama is, are we going to be able to run the football?
Absolutely. And that, I mean, the thing about it is Auburn's offense, or excuse me, defensive line is incredible. One of the best defensive lines in the country, no doubt. But I do think Clemson's is even better. Dexter Lawrence, 6'4", 340 pounds on the interior, along with Christian Wilkins and, you know, Austin Bryant. They have so many players that can affect you in a lot of different ways. And it'll be interesting because while Auburn's pass rush was able to affect the Alabama's passing game, Alabama was able to establish a run game, handing it off to the running backs. And I think that kind of getting out of the ace formations and really just kind of pounding the football, which is what has made Alabama so dominant over the last decade. You know, we saw it last year with Kiffin and Jalen Hurts, and then, of course, more so this year. It's just they've kind of gotten away from what has made them so successful. And if the Auburn game told us anything, it was that Alabama still can be that dominant presence running the football. Alabama's offensive line is much better set up to as run blockers than they are in pass protection.
Yeah.
So it's just the offense has got to get back to what has made them successful, and especially early on in the season where they were, you know, Damien Harris was ripping off 75-plus yard touchdown runs left and right. So those are the kind of things that I'd probably be looking for.
Clint Lamb, Saturday Down South here with us. Now, oh, goodness, the pressure the last few years, you know, Alabama's had to play as the number one team all the time. And number one, that's a great accomplishment for Saban to bring his team to all the victories that he has. When you play with everybody, doesn't matter what their record is, throwing their best shot at you. Now, it seems like the pressure is not on Alabama this year in the playoffs. So how much scarier of a team does that make them?
Well, I think that all the things are heading in the right direction for this Alabama team. A lot of guys that have been banged up, whether it be a Minka Fitzpatrick, who to me will be the best player, you know, if you take all positions into account in the playoffs. But he's been banged up. Rosh Piersbacher, guys like Terrell Lewis and Christian Miller, who have been out since week one of this season. And then, of course, Mack Wilson as well. There was just a lot of guys who ended up playing against Auburn. All those guys ended up playing, but none of them were 100%. And if guys like Terrell Lewis and Christian Miller were at 100%, they still weren't in game shape. So you're talking about an entire month where they will be able to get their legs back under them. The hole at inside linebacker with Sean Dion Hamilton is glaring, and it's something that has really hurt Alabama's defense over the last few weeks. But give them a month with guys like Mack Wilson and Dylan Moses, getting the reps with the starters, getting more comfortable, and I think that we should be able to see Alabama's defense return to the caliber that they were to start the season and could be even better. And, of course, that just plays right into the fact that, you know, Alabama just, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, just barely snuck in and shouldn't even be there. And I think that is also a different mentality for the team or their approach than they've been used to, which I think ultimately will help them, give them a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And if there's been anything that we've learned over the last 11 years under Nick Saban, is you do not want to see an Alabama team with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, honestly, that scares the hell out of me about this Alabama team because, like you mentioned, it's a different approach that they're taking now. It's not, you're not seeing the same Alabama team coming out having to defend that number one position, which they've done an unprecedented numerous amount of times that you don't see other people do. This time, they get to come out here and play football and prove and try to get back to that number one spot. And that's something you don't have to see Alabama do that often, especially this late in the season when it comes to playoff time and championship time. They're sitting at the top spot, or one of the two top spots, playing Alabama football. Now, they're coming in with a little extra edge and motivation, and that is terrifying to me. And my final question to you, you mentioned that glaring hole at linebacker and all the guys that are going to get reps at starters for the month they have off. But realistically, how many and which one of those guys will Alabama have back for the playoffs?
Well, the only guy that's still going to be out is Sean Deion Hamilton. The rest of the guys ended up playing against Auburn. Mac Wilson still wasn't 100%. Neither was Terrell Lewis or Christian Miller, which are your two edge rushers. But they were all getting close and were most certainly close enough to play in that game. I was actually really surprised at how well Terrell Lewis and Christian Miller played, given the fact that they had not seen live game reps in a very long time, and they didn't seem to have a lot of time to prepare and get back in game shape. So it was great to see where they were at, and you could see how important they would have been to Alabama should they have been healthy prior to that game against Auburn. But I think that your two guys at inside linebacker, they're going to be looking to play next to Rashawn Evans, is going to be, of course, Mac Wilson and Dylan Moses. And both of them have shown flashes, especially Mac Wilson. He's a really good linebacker in coverage. He brings the heat as far as a tackler. But what Alabama really needs to do is they need to get back to the fundamentals of tackling. I saw way too many shoulder throws early on in that football game against Auburn, and that really helped the Auburn offense build a lot of momentum. As far as offensive creativity, if Alabama were to beat a Clemson and make it to the national championship against a team like Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley is one of the best play callers in all of college football, and he's very creative. And what you saw from Alabama against Auburn and Gus Malzahn and Chip Lindsey is an Alabama defense that, kind of had this kitchen sink thrown at them, and they were a little bit flustered. So that's something else that they really need to be working on, moving forward, is staying calm, just doing your job, and not kind of letting the flash get to you, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, great point. And finally, before I let you go, I'm not going to ask you to pick who wins, Alabama or Clemson. Number one, because we're a month away. But number two, I understand if you pick Alabama, a lot of people will claim bias. All the non-Alabama fans will claim bias. And if you pick against them, people will hang you as a traitor. I understand that. So what I'm going to say and how I'm going to frame this, if Alabama wins, if they're to win against Clemson, who will they play for the national championship game?
Ooh, I think that Georgia's team is going to give Oklahoma fits, especially with their ability to establish a run game. They're going to be able to their goal will be to keep Baker Mayfield off the field, and they should be able to do that fairly consistently. But it is really tough to go against a guy like Baker Mayfield and that offense that's just able to score at will. And so while I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia won, I think, in these types of games, you've got to go with a player of Baker Mayfield's talent in the same way that you would a Deshaun Watson. So I think it'll be close, but I think Oklahoma ended up being the team that Alabama would play should they beat Clemson.
Yeah, and to your point about Georgia and playing Oklahoma, here's the one thing. I could easily see Georgia being able to slow things down because of their ability to move the ball against that defense. I understand that Oklahoma – they've looked okay on defense at times, but they're not a dominant football team on defense. At best, they try to keep it together on defense. But I've made this point several times. If you, for a month, they're off for a month now. Now, if you tell a team, they're talented enough, if you keep telling a team or one specific side of the ball for an entire month that they're not good enough to do something, they're going to come out and surprise you. So you got to be careful with – everybody has to be careful with the way they're just going to come out and say Georgia is going to dominate this Oklahoma defense. You didn't say that, but I know people have and people will continue to do that because something like that, they can come out and surprise you.
Absolutely. And I think that people look at the fact that, a matchup such as the Oklahoma offense, and they're used to playing Big 12 defenses, and so everybody – says, well, you put them against an SEC-style defense, and they're not going to find nearly the same amount of success. But at the same time, you got to remember that those Big 12 defenses have been going against Big 12-style offenses all season. And that style of offense is set up for, slinging the ball around and really putting a lot of pressure on your defense. And so you go up against a team like Georgia that's a lot more conservative, and can they find that level of success? That's also another question. And, it's like you said, there's no doubt that Oklahoma's got a ton of talent on the defensive side of the football. They just really need to be able to prepare to stop the run. I guarantee that's going to be, you know, what's made Georgia successful up to this point is establishing the run, play action off of it. And any time that you've been able to stop Georgia's run game, that's when Georgia has had some problems, because Fromm is not in a position to put the team on his back or the offense on his back this early in his career. So it'll definitely be a lot of fun to watch, because I do think that there are some intriguing matchups between Georgia's offense and Oklahoma's defense.
Clint, we really appreciate having you on, man. Thank you so much. You're making my job a lot easier. We'll talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me on.
Of course.